companion, the man from Cyprus.
Don't worry about him. We can get Barnabas later.
Don't let him get away. He's the leader.
Let the stones fly.
Got it.
And I hit him too.
He's falling.
Don't stop. Make sure he's dead.
I got him.
Drag him out.
Okay, he's dead.
We don't even want his body around.
He's dead. Paul is dead. It can't be. Oh, dear God, it can't be.
Hello there, boys and girls.
Hello, everyone. I hope you're all ready for a really thrilling story from the time of the apostles, when the Christian church was very, very young.
So young, in fact, that few towns or cities had any permanent place for the Christians to meet. More often, groups of believers met in homes, in rented rooms, and even outdoors in orchards and fields.
It was a time of great danger for Christian missionaries like Paul and Barnabas.
Yes.
Where does today's story take place, Uncle Dan?
In a town called Lystra, located on the great plain of what is today called the country of Turkey. But back in Paul's time, it was called Asia Minor. Lystra was a town of many superstitious people who believed in Greek gods like Zeus and Hermes. And today's story has to do with the time Paul and Barnabas were mistaken for those gods.
That would be quite an experience for two Christian missionaries, Uncle Dan. What's the title of your story today? I'm anxious to hear all of it.
I call today's story
The Stoning of Paul.
In the town of Lystra, there were very few Jewish believers. There was no Jewish synagogue. But there lived a teenage lad by the name of Timotheus in Greek, or Timothy as he became known. His mother's name was Eunice and his grandmother's name Lois. They were Jewish, but Timothy's father was Greek. I'm sure that a lad like Timothy had some really good friends. One of them I call Leander.
Timothy, over here, by the temple of Zeus.
Leander, what are you doing here? I thought I was going to meet you at the bazaar.
Well, we got too crowded with the harvest inn and so many people buying things and all the camels and donkeys. Hey, I'm supposed to buy a jar of olive oil for my mother.
Yes, so am I.
Hey, let's go together. You want to?
Sure. Demetrius has the best oil. I've never seen the market so crowded.
Alms! Alms for a poor old man who hasn't walked from birth. Just a penny, sir. Thank you, sir. May the gods be with you. Alms! Alms for a poor cripple. Have pity.
Zenon, how goes the begging today?
Oh, Leander and Timothy, how kind of you to stop and talk to a poor old man. Oh, the begging?
Mm-hmm.
Very well, but don't tell anyone. Right now the merchants and farmers are rich and generous. But soon winter will be here and Lystra will be desolate and I'll be lucky to get a penny a day.
The Lord will take care of you, Zenon. He always has.
True, Timothy. You're a wise young man, believing in the God of Israel rather than all the gods of the Greeks. Look at our temple there. So many gods, all of them put together, can't make me walk.
Well, don't you believe in the story of Bacchus and Philemon, Zenon?
Oh, yes. All good Lystrians believe in that. The gods Zeus and Hermes coming to our little town in the form of men and going from door to door like poor beggars and no one letting them in except Bacchus and Philemon.
There is only one god.
Perhaps. But look at our temple to Zeus. Where did it come from? No one remembers, except the story says that Zeus turned the poor cottage of Bacchus and Philemon into a temple for their kindness. And he turned all the rude Lystrians into frogs. Well, now, perhaps that part is true. Anyway, the temple priests keep telling the story and warning the people that someday Zeus and Hermes will come again in the form of men. And we'd better be kinder to them than before.
Nothing but a fable.
Have you heard? There are a couple of Jewish rabbis in town, all the way from Jerusalem, I hear. They preach about some sort of Messiah.
The Messiah?
Yes.
What does that mean?
The Messiah, the deliverer of the Jews. They've waited for him for thousands of years.
I know, but...
I must run home and tell my mother and grandma.
Wait, the oil. Remember? Oh, no use. He's gone.
Father, grandmother, I just heard.
Do you have the oil for the cakes, Timothy?
No, but I have something better than that.
What is it, Timothy? Why are you so excited?
Oh, Mother, I just heard in town that two rabbis are here, and they're preaching about the deliverer of the Jews, the Messiah.
I've heard some stories. A rabbi named Saul of Tarsus and another named Barnabas. We plan to hear them tomorrow, early in the morning.
I want to hear them, too.
Of course, son. Grandmother and I have taught you the scriptures and the law of Moses.
But you are not yet a son of Abraham. You are still a Greek.
Mother, don't be so harsh. Just because his father was a Greek, because Timothy has not followed the Jewish law as he ought.
But I believe in the prophets. I believe our God is one God. I believe in the Messiah.
Yes, Timothy, calm down. Tomorrow we'll hear the rabbis and see for ourselves if what they say is true. After all, they might be imposters.
I hope not.
We will judge all they say by the Holy Scriptures. But that's tomorrow. What will I do tonight for oil?
I'll go over to Matilda's and borrow some until tomorrow.
I can't wait until tomorrow. Oh, I hope what they say is true. Leander, we're over here.
Did you ever see such a crowd in Lystra?
Where are the two rabbis?
Up there on the platform. The short one is Paul. He usually does the speaking.
Friends, I'm Saul of Tarsus, now known as Paul. My companion here is Barnabas from the island of Cyprus. We've not come to please you by sweet talk and flattery, no. We've come to tell you some glorious news. News of one who can deliver you from sin, one who can give you peace.
The people do not believe what he tells them.
It sounds like another fable about some mystery Messiah.
Look, the man called Paul is approaching the crippled man Zenon. I wonder why.
Well, let's get closer.
Paul approached the man who was crippled from birth. The apostles saw that this man had much faith. The crowd about him hushed.
Friends, the Jesus we tell you about went through all of Galilee teaching and healing. He gave sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, health to the dying. He even raised a dead man back to life.
Why should we believe you?
It sounds like just another story.
Yes, we get many wandering preachers here telling us about miracles in far-off places.
They never do anything here.
Friend, stand up straight on your feet.
What does he mean?
He is insane.
This is ridiculous.
Even the gods couldn't make him stand up straight.
Look, Timothy. Zenon's legs are straightening up.
I don't believe what I'm seeing.
Look, Zenon is standing up straight.
I can walk.
Look, my legs are straight. I can stand up straight. I've never stood up straight before. And I can walk.
These men must be gods come down to us in the likeness of men.
Yes, you're right. That one, the one who speaks, must be Hermes.
The other wife. That's Zeus! They've come to visit us again in Lystra!
Wait, we'll call a priest from the temple!
We must honor these gods!
Much of the crowd dispersed, running off to call the priests of Zeus. Zeus was one of the great gods of the Greeks, also called Jupiter by the Romans. Hermes was a messenger of Zeus. Another name for Hermes by the Romans was Mercury. When the crowd ran off, Paul and Barnabas started back to the place where they were staying.
You sure can't tell what these Lystrians are up to.
Very true, but what on earth were they jabbering about when they ran off?
Oh, I couldn't make it out. They were talking in their local dialect, not Greek.
Mm. Well, let's get a little rest. We can come back later in the afternoon and continue.
Paul and Barnabas rested for a little while. But soon, in the distance and coming closer, they heard cheers, music, and drums.
Oh, Barnabas, what's that?
Sounds like a crowd coming.
Well, let's see. Barnabas, come quick. They're coming. Oh, no, they're coming.
Who's coming? Let's see. Priest leading an ox covered with flowers and olive branches. and the people dancing and yelling. What is this all about?
The gods have come down among us. Zeus and Hermes have come to visit Lesbos.
Quick, let us offer our sacrifice to the gods.
Honor the gods.
Hurry before they get angry.
Barnabas.
Turn us into frogs.
And pay homage to the gods.
Barnabas, they're getting ready to sacrifice an ox to us. And worship us.
It's because of that miracle.
We must stop them. It's blasphemy.
God will strike us dead like he did to King Herod for accepting worship from the people. We must stop them.
The two missionaries were horrified that people would worship them. It was one of the greatest of sins. So they ran out among the people, yelling at the top of their voices.
Stop! Stop!
Don't do this!
It's blasphemy. We're not God. Stop!
What are you doing?
Listen to me, my people. I'm the priest of the temple, and I know what these gods are doing. They are testing our faith. Do not stop. They've come back to test us as men, but they are gods.
We are not gods. We are men like you. We teach that it's against the commandments of the Almighty God to worship anyone else but him.
Who only could make Zenon walk?
The gods, Zeus and Hermes.
Who only could speak with such eloquence?
The god Hermes.
Who has been privileged to have the gods visit them in the past and now again?
We yes.
Then bring me a knife and we will sacrifice this ox before the gods. Our faith is unshakable in the gods.
Paul, what are we going to do?
Stop, stop! We are not gods.
The gods!
People, listen to me. We're just men like you.
Wily, aren't they? Just like the story says. But trust me, Lystrians. They're just testing us. They are gods.
No. No, we're men like you.
What's he doing?
Christ is coming. Jews do that when there's blasphemy.
Well, but perhaps they are Jews, not gods.
I am a Jew. See? I've ripped my garment out of great horror at this blasphemy. It's a great sin to worship a man like me. You must not do it.
Why have you come here?
We have come to bring you the good news. Turn from the worship of foolish things and worship the living God instead. It is this God who made heaven and earth and the sea and everything in them.
But only the gods could heal a cripple like Zenon.
No, this miracle was done by the power of Jesus Christ. We've come to tell you about him.
Oh, I guess they are not gods.
They're imposters, only men like us.
Yeah, what kind of God does he speak of anyway?
I don't know. He has no statue dedicated to him.
Why don't they do more miracles if their God is so great instead of just talking to us?
Let them alone. They're only imposters.
Yeah, our gods are greater than the Jewish God.
They are.
Barnabas, they're finally going away. I was afraid there was no stopping them.
But I think they're very upset. Mm-hmm. Anything can happen. We'd better be very careful for a few days.
I'd rather face death than be worshipped as a god. Oh, thank you, Lord, for sparing us.
The mob went away, taking their sacrifice with them. They were deeply disappointed and humiliated. All they needed was a little spark to start a riot. And that spark came a few days later, when some enemies of Paul and Barnabas came from Antioch and Iconium. They began to stir up the crowd against the missionaries.
They're only magicians, sorcerers, deceiving you.
Men like that do not deserve to live. You've seen what they've done to you, made you think they're gods.
Then we'll take them before our rulers and try them.
No! If they're allowed to speak, they'll bewitch you and your rulers, you know that. We have a better plan. Come closer, and I'll tell you how we can get rid of these imposters once and for all. Yeah. They'll never pretend to be gods again. You'll never have to bother with these imposters once you do what I tell you. And you'll be doing all people a favor.
Stone them. That's the only way. Before they can speak and bewitch you, stone them. Yes. You'd be doing a righteous thing, defending your gods from such imposters.
Mob set out to find Paul. Apparently, Barnabas was not with him at the time.
Oh, yes?
Paul, sir, there's a mob coming for you.
Wait a minute, young man. What's your name?
Timothy, sir. Oh. My mother and grandmother and I have been listening to you and Barnabas preach, but now there's a mob coming after you. You'd better run.
I will not run. The Lord will take care of us.
There he is! Don't let him get away!
Here's the other one!
Don't worry about the other one. Get this one. He's the leader. Stone him! Don't let him speak!
Stone him! I hit him too!
Make sure he's dead.
The rocks hurtled through the air, viciously striking Paul on his head and body, splattering blood and flesh. Sharp, jagged rocks hit him hard, and his knees gave way. He crumpled to the ground. For a few moments, he remembered the time when he stood by and saw the martyr Stephen being stoned. Another rock flew through the air and hit him solidly on the head, and then everything went black.
He's dead.
I'll drag him out of the city.
We don't want his body around.
The gods will be pleased.
Their fury spent, the mob dragged Paul through the city gates before the Roman guards could find out about the incident. And then they drifted back home, congratulating themselves on their quick action. Paul lay motionless in the dust and brambles outside the city. A few people gathered around the body, sorrowful and weeping.
He told us only the truth, and they did this to him. I shall take his place and tell others about the Messiah.
We should prepare his body for a proper burial.
Wait. I saw him move.
No, it couldn't be. What? Yes. Timothy's alive.
Where am I? Oh, what happened? Oh, Timothy, is that you?
Yes, it's me. Here, let me help you. Oh,
good brothers, rejoice and be glad. The Lord has spared my life.
Is anything broken?
No, I don't think so. Oh, praise the Lord for his goodness and mercy.
Yes, come. Let's help carry him home.
Take him to my house. My mother and grandmother are great at treating wounds and bruises.
Oh, just a moment. First, I must go back into the city.
What? The mob will stone you again.
I am innocent. But I must go back and face them.
But Paul...
We can't let a few unbelieving Jews stir up the mob against the believers in this city, Timothy.
Accompanied by a handful of believers, Paul marched back through the city gate and into the city square. He walked proud, for he was Christ's messenger. And those who had thrown stones at him stared in awe.
There's that fellow. I don't believe it.
But he was dead. I'm sure he was dead. Yes. Perhaps this Paul's God is stronger than all gods.
I'm getting out of here before he turns us into frogs.
Right. Wait for me.
Me too.
Very likely at Timothy's house, Paul's wounds and bruises were cared for by Eunice and Lois and other friends. It was also a time when Paul could teach Timothy more about Jesus.
Timothy, my son in the Lord, your mother and grandmother have taught you well from the Scriptures.
Since I was a boy, sir.
When he was just a baby. Seems like yesterday. He'd listen to us read the Holy Scriptures.
You have been a faithful Jewish mother, Eunice.
When he heard you speak, he made up his mind to be a Christian, like you. Oh,
Timothy, my son, come here. You will become a great leader for the Lord. It's not easy to live a godly life, but the power lies in Christ, who came to earth as a man, was pure in all he did, and depended wholly on God his Father.
I will follow the Lord Jesus all the way.
Timothy, you are God's man. Work for what is right and good. Learn to trust the Lord in all things and love others. Continue to study the Scriptures, for they will inspire you and teach you what is true. The scriptures are God's way to make us well prepared to serve him and to do good to everyone.
Paul, I want to go with you wherever you go.
Oh, no, I'm afraid not yet, my son. But we'll be back for you soon.
You will return.
The Lord willing, we will return.
Soon, Paul and Barnabas bid farewell to the handful of new Christians in Lystra. They started toward Derbe, about 40 miles east. Winter was coming, and the cold winds blew over the great Laconian plain. Snow flurries swept down upon them as they crossed more mountains.
Are you doing all right, Paul? Uh-huh. You're still limping.
Oh, I'm fine. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength.
Look, The shepherds are moving their flocks to lower pastures for the winter. The passes through the Taurus Mountains will soon be clogged with snow.
Well, perhaps we'll spend the winter at Derbe.
Within a few days, they crossed the border and entered Derbe, a rugged city at the foot of snow-dotted mountains. There, they met Gaius, a friend who gave them a place to stay.
Welcome to my humble home and to Derbe. This city is just a Roman frontier town and customs outpost. But it's a quiet place.
We could use some quiet after Iconium and Lystra.
Good. Our king doesn't bother with us much, as long as we pay the taxes and don't bother his soldiers.
I like this place, Gaius. It'll give me time for my wounds to heal.
Wounds?
He was stoned by an angry mob in Lystra.
Stoned?
Yes.
And you're alive. Praise God. We'll take good care of you here, Paul. Don't worry about a thing. You must love the Lord very much to come through all of this for us.
Paul and Barnabas stayed in Derbe through the winter, preaching the good news of Jesus and training disciples. By spring, they had formed a strong church with many Christians.
It's time to head back for Antioch in Syria, Barnabas. What do you think?
I think so. It's been a few years since we left. We can go eastward through the Cilician Gates to Tarsus and catch a boat from there.
I'm concerned about the new believers in Antioch of Pisidia and Iconium and Lystra.
But we can't go back there, especially Lystra.
But perhaps the dangers have died down. Let's return that way and see how our brothers and sisters in the Lord are doing.
The two missionaries walked north as the buds started to turn the oak trees green and the peasants plowed the brown earth. Again they came to Lystra, where many greeted them in the Lord's name. Timothy had remained a strong believer and helped to guide the new church in his hometown. Next, Paul and Barnabas traveled on to Iconium under the twin rocky peaks. There, too, the Christians had remained true. Finally, they arrived in Antioch of Pisidia. In all the cities, Paul and Barnabas strengthened the believers and appointed leaders. This took most of the summer. Then they headed toward the seacoast. The journey through the mountains was exhausting, but they had a chance to relax on board the ship they caught at Attalia.
Oh, the sea again. It's wonderful just to sit back and relax.
I can't wait to get to Antioch of Syria. I wonder how the church has grown there.
Well, they have good leaders, and I'm sure Peter has helped out.
I hope so. But I have a feeling there's going to be some trouble. We've faced the Jewish troublemakers in Iconium and Lystra. I'm sure Antioch has them, too.
Once again, Paul and Barnabas stepped upon the black cobbled streets of Antioch in Syria. The hot sun beat down like a blacksmith's fire. People of a dozen nations sought shelter in gardens and houses. Dogs, geese, camels, goats crowded under whatever shade they could find, under dusty palms and towering eucalyptus trees, beneath arches and bridges. Soon the word spread faster than the evening shadows as Christians gathered in homes and courtyards.
Paul and Barnabas are back at last.
Our missionaries have returned.
Do they ever have some stories to tell?
Quick. Paul and Barnabas have returned.
We're having special meetings.
Brothers, let me tell you, all the hardships and dangers we've been through were worth it. The Lord has opened the way for Gentiles to believe. There are now Christian believers in many towns of Asia Minor. Christ the Lord is for all men. Saul, who is now called Paul, is a mighty preacher. I've never seen anyone so tireless, so on fire for the Lord.
All praise be to the Lord. The prophet John said, all mankind shall see the Savior sent from God. The good news of Jesus Christ changes the hearts of pagans as well as Jews. We've seen this. Jesus, the Messiah, is for the whole world.
Many believers at Antioch rejoiced when they heard the stories of Paul and Barnabas. But there were some who did not believe that non-Jews could become Christians without first becoming Jews. And they would make much trouble for Paul in the future. But in the meantime, Paul's first missionary journey, which had taken about 3 years, showed that the good news of Jesus was powerful enough to change any heart, pagan or Jew, into one of faith, love, kindness, and joy. Nothing except death could stop him from telling others that
Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I was the greatest sinner of them all.